We've got another Big Ten championship to celebrate here in Lincoln as Nebraska men's gymnastics clinched a share of the Big Ten title on Tuesday night and is first ever in program history. And here to talk a little bit about that with us is the captain of Husker men's gymnastics, Sam Phillips. Sam, congratulations. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, how did that feel for you guys to do something that had never been done in program history?
It was a magical moment. I mean, people were crying to see our coaches tear up and cry and just like be so happy. I mean, just like childlike happiness because they had never done it and we had never done it. And so it was the first time in history we have won any type of Big Ten title. And so it was just a magical moment. And we had such a great high bar lineup in that last event. We all just were sticking our dismounts and we just, the last two routines, we knew we cleansed it. And everyone was just so ecstatic. I think I'll never forget that.
I love that you're rocking the hat, too, already.
Oh, yeah, thank you. No, we've been joking about it. We're like, okay, so how long are we going to wear this until it becomes, like, too much? And we're like, maybe, like, a week. And then we'll go to Big Tens, hopefully win, and then we can rock another hat. But
yeah, so that's the thing about, for gymnastics, both men's and women's, you have your regular season champion, which you guys just clinched, and then you have your Big Ten championships, which mm-hmm. you still have an opportunity. But all season long, this team has been doing, putting up some massive numbers, and again, program-breaking numbers. What is it about this group that you guys are doing something that hadn't been done here?
I keep telling people, I mean, we're electric. I think Nebraska stands out as a team from all the NCAA where we don't have, like, a common denominator amongst our crew. We don't have one person who looks the same, does the same gymnastics, or maybe has the same structured routine. I mean, we have just such unique people on our team, unique dynamics, and unique skills that each person does. And I think diversity and that uniqueness just makes us just, like, an unpredictable kind of like firecracker of a team. So, you know, we go there, we just perform and we knock it out of the park. And I think that's just what's so special about this team. And it's we have a balance of a lot of young guns and a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. And I think when that just comes together, it's just this perfect mix of like electricity. It's just like some fresh new perspective, some young studs who push the older guys to work harder. And they are just pushing us to work harder, and so we work harder, and then the whole team just, like, gets better and better. And I think this is the most electric team and talented team I've been on, too.
There's nothing like a team that's got that kind of chemistry, and that's in all sports. It just makes for... It sets teams apart, really. I mean, and mm-hmm. everybody can say it, but when you have that, it's just different, right?
100%. And you feel it mm-hmm. on the competition floor. When things start to just kind of flow and naturally come together, like, that's when you realize, okay, like, we have a team that could do some things here. Like, we have that, like you said, that team that just clicks. So
we were talking about this on Sports Nightly a couple nights ago about men's gymnastics and the scoring. And the thing about you guys is five up, five count. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody has to hit for you guys to really put it all together. What is it like dealing with that kind of pressure where, and I'm sure it's been that way since you've been in college, right, the whole time, but because it changed, I think, over the last...
Yeah, it changed. I believe it was after the 2021 to 2022 year, the whole season was five up, five count. It used to be six up, five count until halfway through, and then after Winter Cup, which was an elite meet in February, it would go five up, five count.
So what is that like, though, knowing that, like, hey, you don't get to replace any scores, everybody's got to hit?
It's definitely a lot of pressure, and it's a test on the team's trust in each other. Even at this past meet, you know, I went up floor, killed it, rings, killed it, career highs, and then vault and P-bars, I did not have the best sets, low scores, and, you know, like, there was a split second where I felt defeated. I was like, dang, what happened? I was having such a great meet, and, you know, I didn't nail my routines for the team, and now they have to count these scores, and we were still leading, but it kind of closed the gap a bit. So high bar really needed to be on, and so I really just, you know, right before I went, one of my teammates was like, Phil, it's my nickname. He's like, Phil, I trust you. And that kind of like instilled that trust in me, like, yeah, it's not done. I trust myself, like I can do it. And then I boned high bar and I won high bar. So it's really, it's a lot of pressure, but you gotta know that your teammates have your back. And if you mess up, it's whatever, you know, the guy after you, like that's his job to carry it through and to make sure that like he can build off of that and like gain some points back. So I'm thankful to have such a great team on my back. And that was just a really great moment. And it made me like really see the trust that we have in each other and use it. And hopefully, you know, it'll carry on, but.
That's awesome. Is high bar your favorite?
Yes,
is that your best?
High bar and floor are my best.
It's kind of different between what's your best and what's your favorite sometimes,
yeah,
right?
I would say high bar is my favorite. Competing, I love competing floor more. High bar is scary to compete. I always say, I'm like, I chose like such a not good event to be like the best at because to be my favorite event, I should say, because competing it is just so nerve-wracking because it's, you know, you're flying off the bar. You got to worry about doing the release good, but not doing it too good where you're like close, not holding back, but not like, you know, missing it. So it's a scary event to compete, but I love competing. It's thrilling. And the feeling of sticking that dismount and finishing the routine, I would say high bar is like one of the most satisfying. Like, yeah, I just did that. And then floor, I've just always, it's like a stage for me. It's like a performance. Mm-hmm. You can dance, you can get loose, you can kind of get all your energy out on floor, which is why I love competing it. You kind of don't have to worry about holding back. You can kind of just go. So,
For those that might not understand the scoring, do you have a way to break it down to make it simpler to understand the scoring for men's gymnastics?
Yeah, so like women's gymnastics, we have a 10 kind of factor in our sport. So our execution's out of 10. So you'll see two scores, you'll see three things on the scoreboard. You'll see our final score, and then you'll see an E score, and then a D score. E score is our execution. So they'll do it out of like 10. So like a good execution is like a 1.2 less, like less than a 0.2 or a 0.2 off. So you'll see like an 8.8 execution, you know, because that's 1.2 mm-hmm. minus 10, or 10 minus 1.2. And then our D score is accumulated off the value of our 10 skills in our routines.
Okay.
A good D score, I would say across the board, it will average, like you'll see like a 5.4 and above. If you have a 5.4 D score, like that's pretty good. And I think what's complicated about men's gymnastics is that it kind of like changes throughout. Like a 14 is really good on horse, but a 14 flat is kind of like average on vault.
Mm-hmm.
14, and then like, so.
So there's certain events that you're gonna see higher scores.
Yeah.
So if you're going through a rotation and you're ending on one of the events that you don't get as high of scores, mm-hmm. that's not ideal.
Exactly.
If you're behind and trying to make up points.
Yeah. And so they add up the E score and the D score. And the D score will be like, so it'll be like 5.4 plus the execution that you start out with 10. So you have a start value of 15.4. You do your routine, the judges are like, hey, I got minus a point off in execution. So you end up with this final score of 14.4.
Okay.
So hopefully people kind of could start. I think people are kind of slowly starting to get it. Like even our friends and other teams are like, okay, I could kind of tell that routine looked harder. He had a higher D score, but it was maybe a bit sloppier than his, but he still finished with a higher score because of his D score.
Yeah, because the elements are harder.
Exactly.
So that's where you get more points for doing a harder routine.
Yeah.
Okay.
But honestly, and Ohio State does a thing where they kind of explain each event. They kind of put it right across the board. Look for scores 13.8 and above. That will kind of be in your area of like, okay, they're doing good, they're doing solid, they're killing it. You know, 13.8 and above would be like a good score to look at.
Okay, that's helpful. So for teams or for people that are tuning in, watching you guys here moving forward, kind of help us follow that scoring system. So I wanted to talk about your backstory and how you got here, because you were all over the place here on campus. You do so many things outside of just competing for gymnastics. But I thought it was fascinating the other day, we were at an event that you were talking about how you got here and you were not going to come to Nebraska. And then you came here and you couldn't say no.
Mm-hmm.
Can you take us through that?
Yeah, so for the listeners, I'm from Los Angeles, California, specifically the Valley, so like Woodland Hills. And Usually gymnasts, it's a small community, and so they have like a school that they're eyeing, and everyone kind of knows that they're going to go there. You know, like, oh yeah, this guy's probably going to go to Michigan, or this guy's. And so for me, it was like Ohio State. I was kind of close with the coaches. They're very similar to my club coaches, and my grandpa lives out there, so I was kind of like almost set on it. But you need 5 recruiting trips. You don't need it, but that's your limit, so you take them. And so Nebraska was one of the schools that reached out to me. They were a growing program. They were doing really well. You know, a lot of like new facilities getting it done and like, you know, buzz around Nebraska. So I was like, all right, like I'll give them a shot. Fine, whatever. Big Ten school. They're hitting their stride. They're pretty good. Their team's familiar to me. Like, let's give them a go. You know, this could be something. And so my teammate was like, oh, you're going to be a Cornhusker? Like, you know, like, what's a Cornhusker? And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm just going there for a trip. I'm giving them a shot, you know. And then this was my second to last trip. This is my fourth trip. And I just about at the end of it, I was like, I'm probably going to commit here because I just loved it. I just immediately when I was hanging out with the team and when I stepped on campus and just talking with the coaches, I mean, I was so comfortable, and comfortable in ways I didn't even know about. Like, looking back at it, just like my very first conversation with my assistant coach, I like just kept laughing and embarrassing myself. I like spit my water out at the lunch table. I was just laughing, and I was just like, it was just so home.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like home, and I was so comfortable here. I couldn't say no. I mean, plus all the benefits and everything. So I basically kind of committed at the end of my trip, and then like officially committed a couple days after, and it was, I didn't even go on my last trip, so.
Wow, so yeah. You just knew.
Mm-hmm.
Once you got here and you're so involved, I mean, you're the SAC president and do a lot of different things on campus and throughout the athletics community. Why was that important for you to get involved outside of just what you do as an athlete?
So, I mean, growing up, I was in a very diverse environment. I didn't really feel the need to like stand up for myself or like be the voice or be the one person in the room standing up and using their voice. And once I came here, you know, it was a lot of people from small towns who hadn't met someone like me, hadn't really connected with someone like me. And so I think that realization made me take a step back and be like, dang, if no one else is gonna do it, then who? You know, who's gonna answer their questions that they have for me? Who's gonna like call out on their biases or ignorance or like microaggressions or bigotry, you know? So I was like, if not me, then who? So I was like, okay, I'm gonna take it upon myself to like step up and like be the voice for others so that like other people don't have to experience this. And I think using my experience being often like the odd one out or just feeling a bit different from everyone else, I don't want anyone else feeling that way. So I always strive to use my experience in that environment and create like an inclusive environment for everyone else. So that kind of is what started my like journey into like activism and advocacy and getting in all these areas and being like representation. Yeah.
I love that. So, you know, as the SAC president too, I mean, you're talking about being someone that is a leader for not just your sport, but all sports here at Nebraska. What was that like taking that on and being, you know, making sure that you're speaking for all the sports, not just your sport, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think being friends with a lot of different people in different sports helped because they could always like, you know, give me their opinions on everything or like if they had new ideas and give me perspective so I wasn't just zoning in on like benefiting men's gym. But also I think that's what's glorious about being SAC president is that it's a lot of the big scale stuff. You know, you go to the Big Ten SAC meetings in Chicago, you meet with like the AD, you meet with like the AD of life skills and you plan these things and your lens becomes for just athletes in general. And I think building that inclusive environment was huge for me and that gave me a vessel to kind of do it on like a larger scale. And after COVID, there was a huge like shift in the air, and there was like a whole year where like athletes didn't see each other basically.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole class where like my junior year, which was like the first year that like outside of COVID, because COVID was my freshman year, then sophomore year, there were still some like protocols. We didn't have training table. We weren't on campus in class. And so my junior year, it was like, there was people who were, I was like, are you a freshman or a sophomore? Because I didn't see you last year, you know? And that was my first year as president. So one, or my, it was vice president, but I was like, you know what, we need to fix this. Like, there's a huge separation between these teams. We're all supposed to be a family, and like, no one knows each other. So that was my mission in SAC president, is like uniting the student athletes. And that really, that situation spoke out to me. And I was like, we should be a family, because that's what Nebraska is. You know, it's like hometown, tight knit, Cornhusker family. Like, we're almost the underdogs. Like, we need to be united. And so, ever since then, I've just been doing like the student athlete formal, try to just get everyone together in places just to have fun, not under the stress of like sport or academics, you know, just to bond together as people. And hopefully that will build closer relationships in and outside of the stadium.
That's awesome. Can you speak to just, you know, the opportunities that are given to student athletes here that do maybe, you know, want to make you more than just a great athlete, but just the all around package here?
Yeah, I mean, just the traveling opportunities. Last year, I think I hit every corner of the United States. I mean, I went to Atlanta, Chicago, Seattle, LA, New York, all for to represent Nebraska. Different leadership summits, Black Student Athlete Summit, Athlete Ally Leadership Summit, Athlete Ally Action Awards, Big Ten LGBTQ Symposium, NIL Summit. So, and all these different just like factors of what being a student athlete is, like advocacy, representation, NIL, leadership, sport, mindset, just like they say, hey, you're interested in this, we're gonna send you here so you can become better in this aspect of being a student athlete and this. And so, I don't know, I've just built such just like well-rounded prism, I feel like, of like, I don't know, just experience and knowledge. And they just give you just so many opportunities to just explore different realms of what being a student athlete means. And it's bigger than just your sport, you know?
Oh, yeah. What's your major?
Hospitality, restaurant, tourism management, with a minor in film studies and a minor in business.
So do you know what you want to do when the college career's done?
Yeah, so I always tell people that, like, in the perfect world, I'm, like, attending the Oscars, nominated for an Oscar, win, and then I host the Oscars after party.
Oh, nice.
So it's, like, I want to be, like, a large-scale kind of celebrity event planner, and then I also want to be in the entertainment industry, directing, producing, acting, and then, like, having my own cooking show would also be nice because I'm into, like, food and beverage, too,
oh,
and
nice.
Having my own restaurant. So I kind of want to do a lot of things, and I think being here in college, wearing many different hats, kind of has prepared me to go out in my life and my career and try to wear different hats and try to balance it all, but I love it.
So do you currently cook a lot?
Yeah.
What's your go-to meal or your specialty?
Everyone always asks me this. I don't have like a go-to. I just kind of like whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm feeling. But I started a YouTube at the end of my high school career. It's called Sam's Fill Ups.
Okay.
So a little play on words, but and so I just put out a video, I think like 2 months ago, because one of my teammates is in like sports PR, and he had to make a video, an instructional video. So he was like, hey, you want to cook for me? And I was like, yeah, sure. So we kind of made a video and I posted it on YouTube. I was like, this is great.
Nice. So we'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
After you watch this, go watch.
And I post my food on my stories too, like all the time. Home, you know, I'm a big home cook. I love it. And that's kind of something that I grew up doing with my dad. So I just love food, love eating it, love taking pictures of it, love cooking it, everything about it.
I think it's so cool that you're into so many different things, you know, because so many people as athletes can just be, oh, I got to be all in.
Yeah.
But you have found the time to like do all these different things, but still be among the best in your sport. That's how do you balance all of that?
I think it's what keeps me going, honestly. And like my mom, two things my mom has taught me throughout my life is always have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D. So just being involved in everything, it's like I'm comfortable and I know that if one thing doesn't work out, I have another passion that I can direct my energy towards and I can pursue. So that's comforting. And number two, it's, you know, it's always good to have a break and always good to like kind of get an escape because especially gymnastics, it's so mental. It's so draining on your body and your mind that it's good to have an escape. And I think what this stuff is for me is like an escape. It's something to put my mind to that where I don't have to just sit here and think all about gymnastics 24/7. And I could just like keep my mind busy with running the formal or doing things for SAC or or having meetings with Athlete Ally or doing this or doing that. And it just gives me opportunity to build me as a person outside of the gym, traveling the world and getting to meet friends. And so, yeah, I think it keeps me going. It keeps my mind at bay. And it gives me kind of like a rest and escape from the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And also makes me realize that it's bigger than just a sport. You know, it's the friends that I make now at all these different colleges around the world. It's the friends I make here. It's the experience, the lessons I learned. So,
oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So for you, how did you get into gymnastics and become elite at gymnastics?
So I was a very energetic child. I have two older brothers. They were constantly in sports. So my parents were like, okay, we need to put you in something. You're already flipping, so gymnastics. My mom did gym a little bit when she was younger, so loved it. You know, once I was like in the gym, I felt so comfortable and I forgot that I was crying because I like wasn't with my mom. And so it just became like a second home. I was in like the pre-team and they're like, hey, we have an elite gym. He should go try out because he would be good. Tried out, made the team. And then that team wasn't really putting a lot of the resources into the boys team. And there's this other gym that was Gymnastics Olympica. So we tried them out and they were like doing, you know, they had a good track record and they took me under their wing. And then after like my first year, level five, I like won regionals and I was winning all these comps and we were like, okay, like there's, oh, like I'm good. Like there's something here. That was, so we just like stuck with it. And we're like, okay, like this is what he's going to do. He's good at it. And we're going to like stick with it. And I think as the years went on, I started to get better and better and, you know, kept, you know, all-star team, national team, winning state, winning, and it was just like, all right, like this is serious. And what's the next step? College, elite path. So that's what we did.
You know, you told us at first you were like, I'm not going to be a Cornhusker. You know, you were hurt last year and you come back this year as a senior and great leader, but then you just, they were announced that you're a finalist, a nominee for the Nissan Emory Award, which is basically the Heisman of men's gymnastics. You think about your journey and where you are and, you know, being recognized like that. What does all that mean to you?
It means so much. I mean, the Nissan Emory Award is like you said, the Heisman of men's gymnastics. And it's something that you see these older guys who seem so much older than you and so much more mature and just like such a different level than you. You know, growing up, you see them get nominated for it. You see them win it. You see people talk about it. And then coming into college, you're like, okay, that would be like a good goal to have, to aspire to. And then just seeing your name on there as like a finalist for the award, it's just like, it's just surreal.
Mm-hmm.
I look back and you realize how far the road has been and how far I've come. And it's just like heartwarming. And I just can't thank God enough for this like amazing journey. And I never would have thought it would be like this. And it is, and I'm just so blessed. I'm so grateful, but it means the world, and it's definitely surreal. Yeah.
What did you learn having to sit out last year and being limited with the injury last year?
Yeah. I mean, I learned all about being there for the team, and it was my first year being captain, and so I'm a person who definitely leads through my work ethic and leads through, you know, competition, being on the comp floor with them. And so there was times, I mean, I was injured. I couldn't like work out with them. I couldn't compete with them and lead through my, you know, like competing and be on the floor or travel with them sometimes. So I was like, okay, how am I gonna, I need to grow my leadership and I need to figure out a new aspect of myself and find it within myself to learn how to lead these guys without being there in the gym and learn how to do it effectively. And that was just the mission. And I did that. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be there for them in any other way possible, emotionally, spiritually, physically, like everything, mentally. And so if they needed anything, I was like, I'm just going to be there for them, you know, talking with them, words of wisdom, like experience. You know, I was kind of like a student coach on the sidelines sometimes. I traveled to Big Tens because one of our assistant coaches was sick. And so I was like, I kind of traveled as a coach and I loved it. But yeah, I just really learned how to lead without the sport.
Mm.
And that grew in my, and be a servant leader. You know, they were the ones competing. I was the one who was like on the sidelines. So I'm going to serve you guys to do anything that you guys need to be the best versions of yourselves and do the best on the comp floor. And so I really learned how to be a servant leader, I think, and pour my heart and my servitude into the team. And so this year, I think it was a perfect balance. You know, I could finally get back on the comp floor, and I already kind of had that training with, like, I knew how to lead them outside of the gym. And so then once we got to the meets, it was like, you know, I knew what to say in the huddles. I knew what to say when someone fell, because I had that time last year to think about it, and I knew how to handle different team dynamic situations. So now it was like time to just put the pieces together.
I love that. What would you say to a kid from LA that says, I cannot go to Nebraska and do what I want to do and achieve what I want to achieve?
You can. You just got to put your mind to it. You got to believe. And you got to be open to change and open to growth. Because change is a catalyst of life. It's what keeps life moving. And so I think the greatest outcomes come from the greatest changes, you know? And so just believe in yourself. Have faith in yourself, your path, and if you believe in him, God, and just be patient, and your time will come, and the path will reveal itself.
Great message. Okay, let's circle back and talk back to this team and what's ahead. You got the Big Ten championships. Being that you guys just clinched the regular season, how much confidence are you taking into the rest of the season?
100%. 110%. Mm-hmm. Not only did we clinch the Big Ten regular season championship, but we clinched it at an away meet, scoring our season high at an away meet. We've had some of our best meets at away meets. We hit 30 for 30 back at Cal, and we hit our season high score there at Ohio. So, and we won. And right now we're thinking, hey, Michigan has not had good away meets. They had like 6 home meets. They're comfortable at home. Let's see what you can do out on the road. Mm-hmm. And because we've had that experience. So now we're hungry. We're fired up. We know we can win now. And we know we can win away too. So now we're just going to put the pieces together, align our chessboard. I don't know if that's a saying, and just play. We're ready.
And then, you know, and taking that into the NCAA championships, because this is a team that is in the hunt every year. You guys are among the best in the country every year that's around there competing for a national title. How are you guys approaching that as well? Not just a Big Ten title on the line, but, you know, potentially even something bigger.
Yeah, I think we're just keeping level-headed. We all agreed. We're like, we're going to celebrate this. Last night was so much fun, but we kept saying, like, it was like at the end of, like, every big statement that we made, we were like, okay, but job's not finished. Like, job's not done. Job's not finished. I think a big word for us this season has been momentum. We're just going to keep using as momentum. We're going to keep being confident, but not overconfident. We're going to keep being gracious, trusting each other, working hard, and having faith that we can do it, and just keeping our heads down and working so that hopefully it'll happen. So we definitely have our hopes up for NCAAs, and we're going to see what happens and just give it our all.
I love it. Great stuff. I knew you'd knock it out of the park. You're fantastic and have just done so much. So appreciate you coming in, and best of luck. Congratulations, first of all, bringing home that Big Ten title. But hopefully you guys add a couple more trophies to the trophy case here coming
100%.
Up.
100%. Hopefully we do. I'm going to tell you right now, we will. There we go. So manifestation.